Several months ago, Bill did a series on the parables. Tonight, I wanted to revisit one of those. If I can get my act together here, we'll do that. I have a little sheet there that you can follow along and fill out as we go. How many of you remember what we said a parable was? What's a real simple definition for it? That's exactly what I've got written down. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And we're going to be studying from Matthew chapter 13. And the setting here is that Jesus is talking to a great multitude of people that came down to hear him. And the people are so many and gathered around that what does he do? He gets on a boat and he goes out into the Sea of Tiberias, or the sea it says, and he speaks to the people and he tells them a parable. And it says, on the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him let more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. We'll stop there. So the setting is on the sea. What brought all these people to hear Jesus? What brought them out, do you think? Gene? Okay. I agree with that. They didn't come out necessarily because of their great spiritual status, did they? They didn't come out because they were looking to seek necessarily what would be salvation. They came out because they had heard of this guy that was going around and he was healing people. And this guy has feeding people. And so you had these multitudes of people that were gathered around. And there's probably no doubt there was some adversaries in the bunch, don't you imagine? Because he already was receiving some criticism from the scribes and the Pharisees, and they had wanted to see a sign from this man. In other words, show us who you really are type thing. Do something really fantastic to impress us, you know. And so you had this great group of people there, and Jesus went out, got in the boat, went out, and he sat, and what did they do? They stood. Now, if the preacher sat down up here and asked y'all to stand, how well would that be received? Not for very long, would it? But anyway, so they stood, and Jesus began to speak in a parable. Keep in mind, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. As he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. How do you imagine they sowed a lot of their seed back then? Do you think they sowed it down here in rows and things? Broadcast. There you go. That's exactly the word I was thinking about. They broadcast. Y'all ever broadcast any seed? Just go along and you got something, you just sling it out there and hope it comes up, and it kind of goes everywhere, doesn't it? Some of it will go right where it's supposed to. Some of it will go off to the side. Some of it will lay on top. Some of it will fall down into the ground and things. But so in this case, it said they sowed seed, and some seed fell by the wayside, and the bird came and devoured them. And he goes on to say, some fell on stony places. They didn't have much earth. They immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Y'all seen that, hadn't you? A lot of times, maybe cracks of the sidewalk. You'll see little twigs or grasses will come up through there.
And,
okay, or rocks. All right, a lot of them planting in Missouri. Comes up, they look pretty. Everything looks good. But what happens? The sun gets hot. They just kind of wither over. There's no strong root system to reach down and pull up moisture and nutrients from the earth. And it says, they just wither away. Some fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up and choked them. Maybe he could have been riding as if he were in Missouri, you think? We have a few thorns, I think. You ever try to plant anything and weeds choked it out? You gardeners? Fred never does because he keeps his weeds out. My dad used to be the world's worst plant a truck patch. Y'all know what a truck patch is. Mom was responsible for the garden, which was out by the house. But Dad had to have a truck patch off down to the back, far enough away from the house that anything that grew, the raccoons and the deer, would eat it up as fast as it came up. But he had to have a truck patch, But anyway, so he'd plant everything down there, and guess what? Weeds had just come up everywhere. You boys get down there and pull them weeds. Well, that didn't suit me and my brother too well. But anyway, so weeds would come up. First thing you know, most everything out there just kind of looked puny and sorry and everything. There'd be a few things. He'd get the old horse out, and he'd let on to plow down through the middle and stuff like that, clean it up. But nevertheless, things will get choked out, won't they? They're not taken care of, they will get choked out. Other seeds fell on good ground and yielded a crop. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, 100-fold is a lot, isn't it? If you're studying on this, it says in normal, probably a lot of times, if you got 10 or 15-fold, that was probably pretty good harvest, 10 or 15 fold. I have no idea. A lot? But then he goes on, so he says, he gives them this parable. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What's that mean? It's quoted different times throughout the Bible, I think both the Old Testament and the New Testament as well. What does that mean? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Pay attention. Pay attention and listen to what I'm saying. Pay attention to me now. Disciples, here's your disciples, his followers that's been with him, and they're a little bit perplexed, aren't they? They come up to him and say, why do you speak in parables? Why are you speaking in parables? In other words, they were thinking from their own perspective, right? You don't need to speak in parables to us. But what is Jesus really thinking? What about all these other people that I just spoke to? They're not ready. They're not ready. Their heart's not ready to hear what you guys have already been allowed to hear. Do y'all think that's right? You think that's probably what Jesus is trying to say? You know, I mentioned earlier that a lot of those people there, yeah, they had lived a life and seen every good thing crumble. They had seen a lot of destruction. They had seen, immorality. They had seen all sorts of bad things happen. And he said, their heart's not ready. Their heart's not ready for what you know. I'm presenting them this parable. I'm giving this in a parable. He answered and said to them, "It has been given to you to know the mysteries," or the truths, hidden truths, "of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. But whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even when he has, even what he has will be taken away. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." In other words, if I went much deeper, they couldn't understand it. They couldn't understand what I was trying to say. They can relate to seeds. They can relate to farming, broadcasting, what happens when seeds come up and different things. Now, I believe all of this is just, it's part of the overall plan that even the disciples themselves had not been allowed to know or experience yet. It's all part of the master plan, isn't it? That this has to play out in the way that it's going to play out, all the way up until the death, the burial, the resurrection, and then the day of Pentecost in Acts. It all, because he's already getting criticism, he needs to have the opportunity to complete his earthly mission, and this is going to take some time. He's saying they don't understand. I can't put things on them that they don't know what we're talking about. So they don't have, they don't see, or they don't hear, or they don't understand. They don't understand what I'm about. You go all the way back to the Old Testament, all the way back to even Abraham, and you come all the way up through the religious men, those that love the Lord, the prophets, all those that are coming forward. I've always been looking forward to this Messiah, right? Messiah has been pronounced throughout all of the Bible, leading up to the Savior. Are they ready to proclaim that this Jesus is that Messiah? Are these people ready? Is the Sanhedrin ready to acknowledge that here's the Messiah? We've got to give up all the power and things that we have. Are all these people that run the courts, all the collectors, all the people that have their hand out, are they ready to give that up for someone else? No. No. But Jesus is going to take time. He doesn't change their mind, some of them, ever, does he? They put him to death. But he has the opportunity to present the fact that he is the Messiah, and that he will deliver, and that he can bring the gospel to him. He can bring it to all of them that accept it. So, anyway, but he says, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." In other words, he's talking to who? disciples. You guys understand. You know, you guys understand more. You guys are ready for more than all of these people out here. He says, for assuredly I say that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. In other words, he's saying what? Be thankful, be grateful that you're here right now. Many of the great prophets, many of the early followers that wanted to do right, that wanted to build a kingdom, they're not here. But you are here, and you're going to be able to experience and be a part of this great thing that's coming. Now, he didn't reveal to them here that he was going to be persecuted and he was going to be killed or anything, did he? Because they weren't ready for that, were they? But he did tell them to be thankful. Be thankful that you're able to experience this. You're able to see this in action. These people out here are not ready for that. Now, he didn't reveal everything to them yet, did he? Obviously, he didn't. But he did make them a part of what was going on at the time. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word, are y'all filling out your sheets? I got one here. I already filled mine out. I cheated. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Okay. If you hear and you don't understand it, what's going to happen?
Easily swayed.
Easily swayed. I put a little note here on my paper. I put, you become vulnerable. You become vulnerable to everything on the outside. You're easily swayed. And when wickedness comes along, it's just like throwing seed by the wayside, isn't it? It's gone. Yeah. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. You receive seed on sunny places, you receive it with joy. Verse 21, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. What's he saying? You know? Now he's paralleling what he said earlier. In the parable, he's speaking to the people, and over here, he's given the heavenly meaning of what he's talking about. Saying what? If it falls on stony ground, remember, it'll come up, and it'll wither and die away when can't get nourishment. If you receive seed on stony places, when you hear the word and receive it with joy, but endures only for a little while because it is not rooted. When tribulation or persecution comes, he stumbles. Now, is this too much? Is this too different from how we are today in a lot of ways? I don't think so. You know, sometimes we hear the word and, you know, or We get on fire and we jump right in there, and you know, we think we found what we're looking for, but then after a little while we might get distracted, or perhaps maybe there's not us out there that's offering encouragement or trying to build them up or whatever the case may be. And then when difficulty comes along or persecution, whatever, then they stumble and they're right back where they were. That's no different. This parable that he's speaking here is no different than he could be talking to us, right? is talking to us. Yeah. Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. A lot of times we receive the word, accept the word, but we allow other things to choke it out, don't we? Other things to choke it out. It can be our lifestyle, our desires. We seek things outside of what we should be seeking. We allow other problems to develop that we don't have to, and it chokes out the good things that we had in our lives. It chokes it out and becomes unfruitful. Verse 23, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Just like that seed that falls on good ground, if that good word falls on us, if the message falls on us, and we hear it, and we understand it, and we live by it, and we will bear fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. You know? So that's the heavenly meaning of the earthly story. The earthly story were for those that knew what he was talking about in the parable, but wasn't ready for the heavenly meaning because their hearts weren't right. There was too much deceit and too much stuff there. So he was explaining to them that they weren't quite ready. You know, it's, we don't always know what we think we know about a lot of things. We don't always know. So if we don't know, what is our obligation? To try to, find out, isn't it? To find out. These people, a lot of them, when the seeds fell over here, they weren't really willing to try to find out. You know, they enjoyed it for a while, and it withered away, got choked out, and just, but on the good ground, it stayed on there. You know, Jesus said they weren't ready for it. You know, I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of things that we don't necessarily have to know or we may not be ready for. I'll give you a couple of examples of what I'm talking about. My dad had an old plow horse. Old Dan. That was the horse's name. Old Dan. And that old horse, he had harnessed it up when we were kids. I was always fascinated by watching Dad and that old horse. And he'd get that old horse and he'd get him harnessed up and he'd hook him to either the brake and plow for his truck patch, or the double shovel, or whatever shovel he had on there. And he'd go down there to the truck patch and hook old Dan up, and he'd take off plowing the ground. He's getting the soil ready. But in the process of getting the soil ready and doing the plowing, he'd say some things that didn't make much sense to me. He'd say things like, gee, ha, you know. How many of you know what G and ha means? Left and right. You know, I think it's G turning left and ha to the right or something. And he'd have that old horse, and old horse get down the end of the row, and he'd say G, and old horse would turn this way. And I'd sit there fascinated by it, but I didn't know what he was talking about, you know. But I knew that it was working because the horse was doing what it was supposed to be doing. Sometimes we're kind of like that. You know, maybe we're not always ready for everything, but we can watch, we can observe, and we can learn, and we can apply. You know, and we can apply. I could give you a thing here that, what if I said, 41 personnel, double split, 90 X-rod, double post, Z-curl. Who said that? Is that Tim? Somebody said football. All right. Do you know what that means? Do we need to know what that means? No. We just know that that is some terminology that would be applied to people that are in trying to make something work inside that football huddle. They might say, you know, 41 personnel. That might mean four receivers wide, one running back. That's 41 personnel. Double split. That means they're split out on both sides. Okay. 90. That would be pass protection. XY double post. That would be a route. Z curl, that would be another route. And all these people are identified by that. If we sat there on television and we had to watch, and they had to do that every time, what would we do? We'd say, we can't learn from this. We just want to watch the game. We want to enjoy the game. We want the game to move forward. You know, but that's all that goes into it. And it progresses. And we learn as we go. Jesus was, I think, he wasn't calling a football play, and he wasn't plowing here. But what Jesus was trying to do is he was trying to make his disciples understand what? One thing. Was he? That you're farther along than these people. Don't be too harsh. Don't pass judgment. Don't question why. Am I speaking in parables? This was one of the earliest parables, maybe the earliest, that Jesus spoke. There was many more to follow. And he always spoke in parables. Some people thought, well, you spoke in parables because the people you were speaking to would understand them, but perhaps enemies wouldn't, or something along those lines. Those that your adversaries might not understand them. But I think he was speaking to them in parables because they were at a point in their life where they needed what? The milk. They needed the milk of the word. They needed the training that took place so that they would be ready for the harder stuff that was to come. And he was trying to make his disciples understand, you know, come along with me. Let's do this. So, any comments? I know somebody's got something to say, surely about G and Ha or something. I don't know.
I just say he very well. He knew his audience very well.
Yeah.
He knew what he was saying to them. They knew what he was saying about it. We kind of need to know that ourselves.
Yeah.
As we're talking to people out in the world.
Yeah.
And
sometimes we have to be a little bit cautious, even among our own folks, don't we? That we have to recognize that we probably got as many people that need to hear lessons that they, you know, and teaching that they can relate to and understand a little bit and things, because it's easy. It'd be hard for me to speak over anybody's head because I'm too dumb. But there's a lot of other people that can really pour it on, and it's hard, you know, sometimes to take a grasp of it and things. But I think we're blessed here that we have a good teaching program. We have people that teach our little kids all the way up. And surely we're doing a good job of trying to meet the needs of all of our folks here and supplying them with what they need to hear. There's always, you know, when we have a meeting or something, Bill's always asking, what do you guys want me to... Anything y'all want me to speak on or preach on? Well, you know, we need to be asking probably y'all that. You know, instead of him asking us, I probably ought to say, is there anything that y'all want to hear a series on? Or is there some way that we can uplift, some way we can meet some of the needs that we're not meeting? You know, is there something that needs to be done for young families? And both from within here and out here, classrooms, activities, and different things like that. But what do you want to hear? And keep in mind, we're all different a little bit. You know, I used to not be old. But as I get older, I probably don't relate quite as well and understand where some of you younger folks are at in life. I don't know what y'all deal with sometimes. I'm not sure that what's going on out there that maybe needs attention more that we're not in tune with. I don't know, you know. But I know that, you know, the goal is what? Salvation for all of us. And how you're going to help me get there is the same way I'm going to try to help you get there. You know, I need to listen. I need to speak. You know, I need to be kind. I need to be careful. I need to be truthful. Honest in my dealings with you. And all those things. And that's kind of what sets us aside. That was the challenge. A lot of the challenge Jesus seen before him, wasn't it? These people don't want, you know, these rulers, this Sanhedrin group that controls everything, they don't want a Messiah. You know, the rabbis, they don't want a Messiah. Even the Gentiles, who we don't even minister to at this point, you know, we don't know where they're going to be. You know, do they welcome a Messiah? So Jesus is talking to his disciples in parable form, and he's saying, you know more than they know about, you know, your eyes are more opened, you can hear more. And things. So, anyway, that's about all I got. Is that enough? Mike, how's your health reports coming? Okay? Go tomorrow. Well, it'll go good. Nice. Y'all won't believe this, but I moved up into the texting world. You know, I can text a little bit. I'm not real good, but I can peck out a few words. And so I've been texting Bill back and forth, and I think he's better. He said he still has some headache issues and achiness and just doesn't feel real good yet. So we'll see. But I know out at the home, we've got several folks out there that are, you know, I know John Mahan, Sam and Brian Yorks, they've got COVID issues going on. And that just kind of messes everybody up, and not only counting their health situation, you know, you got kids everywhere and moving in and out in different houses, and first thing you know, you've got everybody that's come in contact with each other and things. So we just all do the best we can, and that's all we can do, isn't it? But anyway, I think we're okay. We do have several other folks that have been ill, a lot of just old flu-like symptoms and bronchial problems and different things. So, you know, God will be good to us. Yeah. Anything else? John, your family all okay? Good. Good. Seen Becky had a grandson come in here on a four-wheeler. Broke his big toe. Dropped a 45-pound weightlifting right on his big toe. That's Landon. Landon, yeah. Anyway, I will close us with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the wonderful people in here and the participation and discussion and support that they've shown me tonight and shown you. Father, we love you and we ask that you be with us. We ask that you be with Mike tomorrow and Glenda as he undergoes some testing tomorrow. We hope for good results for him. We ask that you'll continue to bless us and be with others that are dealing with some difficulties. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank y'all.